step into the bardic basement and ascend to a higher perspective. In this week's Bardic Basement Bite Size, we have Julia Thorley. I first met Julia at the Kesebel Connection in Kettering. Julia is a freelance editor and writer, as well as being a published author in her own right.
Poetry is not something that comes naturally to me, but over the last few years I've dabbled and I've been working hard to improve my technique with the help of some people better skilled in the art than me. The first piece I'd like to read to you grew out of an exercise I did with the Weaving Words group run by Kesebel Ambler. It's called Betula Pendula. Plant me under a silver birch, where the tree is firmly rooted but doesn't strangle my feet. Where I am fed but not overwhelmed, warmed by the sun but not scorched by heat, sheltered from excessive rain but still quenched, give me the perfect conditions for growth and watch me thrive. Or leave me where I am, anchored with my arms spread and my fingers reaching upwards, faced turned to the elements, creating the perfect conditions for my growth. Watch me thrive. The next two are poems I wrote for inclusion in an anthology put together by the Corby Collective Poets. It was called Dogs Must Be Carried, and the theme was kind of tales for our time. The first one is called The Gap. The engineers knew, had warned them the bridge was built on shaky ground. Firm the foundations first, they said. Check for cracks and tend to the maintenance, they said. But the traders knew better. Travelled back and forth across the borderline. The pillars are strong, they said. It will be fine, they said. But it wasn't. Heavy loads became a burden. Barely their cracks appeared, expanded. Tensile supports became unstable. Travellers moved quickly. People watched but didn't understand or understood and turned away. The bridge collapsed. Traders on one bank looked at customers on the other. All they could do was wave. The second one from that anthology is The New Pied Piper. Twitching noses detect vanilla notes on the summer breeze, enthralled to the captivating mist, unable to resist the lure of strawberries and cream, they fall in line. Desperate flautists move air but produce no tune, and all too soon vapours vanish on the wind. Cigarettes binned, one habit swapped for another. This new addiction leads them on a merry dance, following the piper, money falling from their pockets in their trance. Thank you. Okay, so the next little piece is called Animal Welfare, a little bit lighter in tone perhaps, but it's also very much a tale of our times. Moonchild, formerly known as Brenda, snatched the sparrow from the cat's mouth. The creature's demise offended her newly acquired vegan principles. "Bad girl, look what you've done," she scolded. "I'll teach you a better way." She took the cat home and fed it lentils and soya milk. The cat died of hunger. Okay, so I do write some poetry and fiction of varying lengths, but what I really enjoy writing is creative or narrative non-fiction, often with a humorous touch. So I'd like to finish with some extracts from my book, which is called A Sparge Bag on the Washing Line. Bit of background, when my husband retired a couple of years ago, I started to keep a diary of how the experience was unfolding. I never intended to publish it, but when it was finished, I thought there were lessons in it that other people going through the same thing might appreciate. To be clear, Clive didn't know I was doing this at the time, although I did let him read the book before it was published. The women who have read the book generally say, "I've got a man at home like that," while the men sympathise with him, so I'll let you make up your own mind. This is how the adventure began. 1st of June. We have arranged a weekend away in Tenby to walk a stretch of the Pembrokeshire coastal path. The journey does not go well. We have our usual conversation about the merits of sat-nav, him, versus maps and road signs, me. The traffic is heavy, and by the time we take our planned break in Ross-on-Wye, I'm in full-on toddler mode and spoiling for a fight. We stop for a sandwich, which we eat leaning up against the open boot of the car. When a passerby stops and stares, I snarl at him, "Know me again, would you?" He is clearly taken aback by what I now admit was my unnecessary venom, and he seems rooted to the spot. I look away, petulant and possibly a little ashamed of myself. We find an independent coffee shop, where I am further enraged when a woman brings a hideous pug inside. That's bad enough, but then she picks it up and kisses it, before perching it on her lap so its mouth and balls are at table and therefore food height. I bite my tongue. We do eventually make it to Tenby, of course, and the B&B is charming. There is another slight wobble when we set off in search of dinner and find the town is full of families with squawking children and gaggles of hefty, underdressed girls out on the lash. But we eventually settle on fish and chips and, thankfully, disaster is averted. 19th of August. We are in Cornwall, driving along, enjoying the scenery. Suddenly Clive says, "Oh, look, a winery." I mishear this as, "Oh, look, a library." And there, in a nutshell, is the chalk and cheese on which our relationship is built. We go to Godolphin Gardens, a National Trust property, where a wonderful guide takes us around the grounds, regaling us with tales of a hapless builder called Malcolm, who was responsible for huge dollops of concrete on the slate roofs and otherwise beautiful stonework of the listed building. Later, in the tea shop, an unpleasant family allow their son, Austin, to open and close the door time after time after time. I'm itching to clip him round the ear, but Clive distracts me with the thought that perhaps the lad is missing his brother Healy, or possibly Allegro. 14th of January. Clive is enjoying reruns of Hornblower on TV. This leads him to announce his intention to start doffing an imaginary cap in thanks or greeting as appropriate, in the manner of a sea captain in a tricorn hat. This is either an affectation or a touch of old-world charm. You decide. 25th of April. Clive sets up camp in the back garden with bags of compost and a mountain of plant pots. By the end of the day, he has sown 13 courgette seeds. Not unreasonable, you might think, but each plant is likely to yield at least one fruit a day for up to 2 months. That's potentially 780 courgettes. He's also started off 10 butternut squash, that's up to 40 fruit, and 12 pumpkins, at least 2 fruit per plant. Oh, and 22 sweet corn plants. I remind him that there are only 2 of us to feed. And finally, there won't be a second volume of this diary, but it's perhaps worth mentioning that just days after I finished writing it, Clive sliced through his leg with a Stanley knife, necessitating 13 stitches in his thigh. And he came through the casement window onto the balcony of our holiday flat with such graceless determination that I laughed so much I couldn't breathe. Thank you very much.
You can find her social media links in the description. And another thing. You can support the Bardic Basement by going to our coffee page. Thank you. You can donate by going to the link in the description.